You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special minisode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. We are here to review a film that just landed in theaters last week and took out the champion, Avengers Infinity War, to be the number one box office hit of the weekend. That's right, we're talking about Deadpool 2, a very highly anticipated movie from the first Deadpool that pretty much was like a cultural phenomenon, I would say. I am joined tonight by the God of Podcasting, the one and only self-proclaimed God of Podcasting himself. Welcome, Loisos, to the show.
What it is, Epic Film fans.
What it is. And we are not joined this evening by Epic Film Guy Nick. Those of you that follow the Epic Film Guys, you know that this past weekend, we just had the live stream for the Cure 2.0 event. And Nick put so much time, so much effort. He is exhausted. He flat out was like, dude, just do the review. And he will be giving you his thoughts on Deadpool 2 next week on the main show. So right now, just to fill your ears with some Epic Film Guys, we're doing this mini-sode review of Deadpool 2 to give you a little tasty morsel. But I did want to come out and say that you will get all the full details on live stream for the Cure 2.0, all the shout outs, all the thanks and everything about the donations. I want to let you listeners know that we did, in fact, hit our goal of $5,000 in donations to give to the Cancer Research Institute, which they are matching that as well. So it's a big number. I'm going to let Nick discuss that in full detail on the main show next week. But I just wanted to let you guys know that we were successful, and we want to thank all you guys. Many, many thanks to all friends and supporters out there. But we are not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds returning to what I would say the role he was born for. I don't think there's any other role in your head you could think of, Brian, when you think of Ryan Reynolds now in this day and age without thinking about Deadpool. So I'm going to throw it to you for you to tell the people out there, those one or two people in the entire world that listen to this show that don't know what this movie's about. What is Deadpool 2?
So Deadpool 2, we're reacquainted with everyone's favorite fourth wall breaking, wisecracking, masked mercenary, Wade Wilson, aka Deadpool, played by Ryan Reynolds. And after suffering a personal tragedy, which I will not reveal because that would be getting into spoilers, he joins forces with the X-Men and branches off and forms his own team of superheroes called the X-Force.
You were lucky enough to see an advanced screening. We all know that Loisos is the luckiest guy in the world. He works for the Alamo Drafthouse. You saw an advanced screening of the film. You got to tell me, what were your initial thoughts upon watching the movie?
My initial thoughts, I think Deadpool 2 raises the bar that the first one set. I honestly would agree with some who are saying that a lot of the surprise aspect of the original, how it was so fresh and unique and we hadn't really seen anything like it, that's not going to be the case with a sequel, unfortunately. But what I thought that this sequel did was it upped the ante on the action. I thought it was funnier. I thought it was more emotional. So to be honest, I mean, it's rare when a sequel improves upon the original, but I thought Deadpool 2 did that in spades. Watching it a second time, my excitement for it has diminished a little bit. But overall, I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was a ton of fun, and it gives the fans what they want. I mean, if people going into a Deadpool movie, wanting to see pop culture references and gratuitous violence and superhero action and fourth wall breaking humor and a lot of the F word being thrown around. So, I mean, it's more of the same, but better.
Oh, well, you're one of the only people I've seen that have said that it's better. I myself, most likely by the end of this review, will reveal that I'm not really in the same boat as you were. Now, you had just mentioned a few moments ago, though, you saw it last week. You were really excited about it. You did a little critic blurb for the Epic Film Guys Facebook page, which got a lot of people talking and commenting. But you just mentioned that upon the second viewing, your excitement for it diminished a little bit. Why is that? Are you saying that it does not hold up well to a second viewing?
No, I just think I felt the same about the first one as well. When I first saw the first one, I was laughing my ass off.
I can relate to that, yeah.
I was laughing my ass off. I thought that the action was fantastic, and I really loved it upon initial viewing. The second time and third time and fourth time I've watched it, it's good. It's a good film, and I enjoy it. But it's not the game changer. It's not the end-all be-all that a lot of people were making it out to be when it was first released. I remember when Deadpool came out, people were losing their minds over this movie. The humor worked more for me this time around. I thought it had a better pacing. I thought the first film was very starty-stoppy for me. Because
that's interesting.
Because of the structure, it was all told in flashback and flash forward. And once a great action scene started, it flashed back to a different scene. And to me, the structure of it, I know they were trying to do something different, but it felt like there was no forward thrust or forward momentum of the story. It was a very simple revenge story. It was kind of what it needed to be. But for me, there wasn't enough meat on the bones of the narrative for me to really get invested. But with Deadpool 2, on the other hand, I found a lot more to be invested in this time around.
Well, I got to say, my initial thoughts after leaving the theater this evening, because I actually finally had a chance to see it. The live stream for the Cure 2.0 event actually took up all the time over the weekend. So I'm a little late to the game, and I'm usually not. So yes, it does happen, ladies and gentlemen. But I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I don't think anything went above my expectations or really below them. It's basically what I expected it to be. I always liken certain situations to the quote from Jeannot Schwartz, who directed Jaws 2. When he came on to direct Jaws 2, he said, well, you can't ever get that first moment in the first Jaws where Jaws comes out of the water, the shark comes out of the water. You can't ever get back to that moment with the audience. They've already seen it. They've been there. They experienced it. And I think that's the same situation here with Deadpool 2. We've already had the fourth wall breaking. We already had all the gratuitous jokes. We've already had the F-bomb being dropped every 2 minutes. You know, we've already had brutal violence.
Every 2 minutes, more like every 2 seconds.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Right,
Right. Way more than you see or hear in any other typical movie that's released in this day and age. Let's face it. And definitely not,
especially
not a comic book movie.
Exactly.
So like for me, what I was just hoping was that we would get a sequel that almost lived up to the first film, but it was at least almost as funny. And I gotta tell you, man, right off the bat, a lot of the jokes landed flat. I would say probably 60% of them landed flat for me. You sat next to me, you watched the movie with me. We didn't comment anything to each other, but I mean, I rarely laughed, and I didn't laugh hard enough to get teary-eyed or anything. And with the first film, upon my first watch with it, I was almost on the floor, probably because I had no expectations. And of course, this is a natural thing to have. You already saw the first one. I've seen the first one 3 or 4 times. And that novelty factor of it did wear off by the time I got home and watched it on Ultra 4K. You know, it was still fun. It was still funny, but those jokes didn't land for me the second and third time like it did the first. So I expected that with this one. When it comes to comedy and laughs, it's hard to get me. So, you know, but one thing that I loved about this movie so much that probably made the movie for me, Josh Brolin is Cable, man. He's a fucking beast in this movie, dude. He's so much charisma, such a presence, such a badass. And for me, of course, we'll get to the fight scenes in a little bit, but his presence in the movie and being that formidable foe against Deadpool, among others we see him face in the film, was enough to make me excited. I mean, I grew up watching the original X-Men cartoon series. I did read comics when I was younger, and I had the action figure. I had a tall action figure of Cable. Everyone loved Cable. He was a badass, dude. He had those weapons. He was jacked. He had like the gray hair, you know, the starry eye. Like, it was a character a lot of fans love. So for me, I was really looking forward to this character, and I think that Josh Brolin absolutely nailed it. He knocked it out of the park.
I agree. He's would certainly make a great Terminator if they
Definitely.
like I said, I feel like this is the best Terminator movie in 26 years, because it's essentially a time travel story where a mutant cyborg, Cable, goes back in time to kill a certain member or a certain individual who will kill, you know, members of his family. And so he has, you know, he has a tragic backstory, but he's a killing machine as well. Like he and Josh Brolin balances those two kind of, because he has a lot of emotion, you know, and he has a lot of baggage as an emotional baggage as a character. But he, when it gets down to it, he will stop at nothing to, you know, exact his mission and kill who he needs to kill in order to save his family. So I thought he was absolutely brilliant in this film, and he is this unstoppable force where you wonder, like, you know, is Deadpool gonna survive what's being thrown at him? Because Cable's formidable, absolutely. And Josh Brolin is just having a great year. I mean, he was Thanos, who was a highlight for me in Infinity War, and then he's coming up in Sicario, and so he's having a great summer.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
Josh Brolin
and
character.
There's even a, you know, later in the film, there's even a joke. Obviously, I knew they were going to do this where, you know, Deadpool says something to him like, calm down, Thanos, or something along those lines.
There are a couple Goonies references as well. He calls him One-Eyed Willie.
Yep, One-Eyed Willie. Yep, there's that.
He's wearing the chunk shirt towards the end. But yep. There's a lot of those references thrown in there for fans. And again, some of them land, some of them don't. For me, I found a lot of the references this time around hit for me, but
really
humor subjective. Yeah. It all comes down to it.
Oh, of course, definitely. I mean, like I said, it's for me when things are overdone. You know, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. Like for me, at least, when you use foul language a lot, and I know we're no one to talk because we do all
you
the time.
You are not one to talk.
Hey, listen, in my regular life, it's not as often as it is on the show. Okay. It's not.
But you're right.
This is my place to let loose, but
it loses its potency when the language is so gratuitous and it's trying to be shocking. It's trying to be edgy. Because that's kind of the brand of the character and the nature of the whole enterprise.
It's the mark with the mouth, man. It has to be that way. That's why when they decided they were going to make the first one in the first place, it had to be R. And, you know, we're so lucky as film viewers and movie fans that we actually got that. And, you know, that's the one thing that I'm going to say right off the bat is we're lucky we're getting a movie like this. You know, people are forgetting that before the first Deadpool, we didn't have anything like that. Now, you referenced in a previous discussion, you know, we had Kick-Ass, we had Kingsman. Yes. But nothing quite on the level of Deadpool. So, again, but what I think that the problem is with this movie is so much of it is so overdone so much of the time. I mean, it doesn't give you that much of a chance to breathe. So there are emotional moments, and we're going to get to those right now. I feel like we might as well just touch on that, and then we'll get to the rest of the characters and our highlighted parts of the film. But this film does balance emotional moments and heart a lot better than the first one. And it feels genuine. I mean, the first film had heart because it's a revenge story. He's after his hopeful wife to be, and he, you know, he obviously loves her and they have a great chemistry on screen. So you believe that and you feel that. And in this one, it's even stronger. So I'm going to give it over to you because you got to tell me what happens in the beginning of this movie and how you felt about it. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, in one of the opening scenes in the movie, Deadpool's wife Vanessa is shot and killed. There's an incredibly sad moment where you see Deadpool and kind of like, you know, all the sound and music cuts out, slow motion. He's cradling her dead body, running after the killer in the rain. It's very dramatic and intense. You can see the writers sitting around at the round table in the boardroom saying like, okay, what do we do with this character? In the first movie, the whole crux of the film was Deadpool and his relationship with Vanessa and trying to get the girl and all of that. So you can almost imagine them saying like, well, what do we do this time around? And how do we get a solid character arc out of Deadpool this time around? So now we get Deadpool or Wade and Vanessa talking about having kids and starting a family. And so that character arc is kind of supported by Deadpool almost becoming a father figure to this mutant kid played by Julian Dennison in the film, who, if you've seen Hunt for the Wilder People and you remember how great he was in that movie, you'll be excited to see him return. But It kind of plays into that emotional storyline and that kind of father and son relationship that Deadpool has with the kid into Vanessa's storyline. Unfortunately, that does mean that, you know, whether or not you agree that they had to kill her off, that's what we got. And people, I see articles online saying that this is an example of fridging, which is a term coined by, I guess, I hate this term, but like SJWs and liberals online who are mad that a female character and a prominent female character as well is killed off for the sake of a male character's growth and development. And I understand those criticisms and complaints. But honestly, what were they going to have Vanessa do in this movie? I mean,
yeah, that's,
sit yeah. around? Like.
That's literally the only thing. I mean, we're paying the price of admission to see Deadpool kill people, to see his antics, to see the action. You know, that not that that's all that the movie needs to be, because that's not all this movie is, and it's not all the first one was either. But I do see, while I was upset by this happening, because I saw it coming, and then I kind of thought it was a little bit forced and shoehorned in, what is she going to be doing? He's going to fight. Yeah. He's going to fight the villain of this movie. He's going to have his ups and downs. And, you know, he lives a very dangerous lifestyle. The film opens with all these escapades of him traveling around and killing all these bad guys all over the world. And you get
an
the sense like,
sequence.
Oh, it's amazing. So fun. So I loved it so much. And also, mind you, not to go off a tangent or get off subject, that James Bond opening. So great. Loved it to death. Love that.
It is great because it also kind of nudges the audience saying like, yeah, we actually did this. I love the credits spell out like, you know, what the fuck presents like in association with I don't understand. And it's really clever. Like, why would you, you know, starring, why would you kill her off? Like, it's really clever. And in a way that the opening titles were memorable in the first movie, this one kind of plays off of that as well.
But I mean, going back to, I don't necessarily agree with their decision to do this. I understand why they did it, but their chemistry is so great. And the whole reason why the first film was so strong is because of that connection with the two of them. And in this movie, it opens up and they're deciding they're going to possibly have a family. They're really excited about it. Then you immediately know in the back of your head, okay, she's going to die. And she does.
It's very telegraphed. Yeah,
it is. And so, I mean, again, I understand why. I'm not really on one side or the other. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it either. So I just understand why they did it. But moving on from there, we did have some other new characters in the film. We see Deadpool at one point where he decides he wants to create his own team, which is not the X-Men, because obviously the X-Men are too politically correct and too safe for his style of crime fighting. And he decides to create X-Force, which I think the marketing did a fun job of kind of trying to tell you something and that's going to happen in the movie that doesn't happen. Because it kind of lies to you a little bit.
It's deceiving because you're almost expecting this to be setting up like an X-Force movie almost. Which I'm so glad they didn't do. They definitely subverted the expectation because pretty instantly every single member of the X-Force is killed in the most hilarious fashion. I love the scene when they're skydiving, and if you've seen the film, you know what happens after. But
yeah, I mean,
For me, that was a very clever subversion of expectations, and it, because Deadpool is not that kind of character and that kind of movie where it's like we're gonna team up and be the X-Force, and it felt almost like I was really hoping they wouldn't go down that route, because a Deadpool movie should be focused on, you know, Deadpool. That's who you want to see. And so all these like second tier, third tier mutant characters teaming up, to me, I thought that the movie would get bogged down in that, but it instantly, in clever Deadpool fashion, undercuts it with a joke.
Well, it brings people in that you're like, okay, this is going to be cool. You had Terry Crews as Bedlam.
Bill Skarsgård.
Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise himself, he's in there. And of course, we have Zazie Beetz, who plays Domino, who actually does stick around for the movie. We'll get to her in a moment. And we even had a small cameo. Brad Pitt as Vanisher, which is the most hilarious thing ever, because Vanisher is this character that's just like basically the Invisible Man. And the whole scene is after they group together and he basically hires all these mutants to be in the X-Force. They're all going to jump out of an aircraft carrier, and when they jump, you just see the backpack, like, or the, you know, the parachute pack on just like floating in the air by itself. It gives it's a good laugh. Visual. It's a great visual. Then we come to find out when he succumbs to his death, it's Brad Pitt. But yes.
Well, it's a blink and you'll miss it thing too. I'm sure like they green screen, like they shot him against a green screen, just superimposed his head. Like it doesn't look quite right, but it's just like a second.
Just good enough for anyone that pays attention notices it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I'm really happy they went that route with it. I can see comic book fans, especially. I talked with Brad of the In the Mouth of Darkness podcast, yeah, after the film, or you know, after he saw the film, and he was kind of disappointed by the fact that you introduced all these characters,
like Shatterstar, and right?
Yeah, he's a big player in the comics.
He is,
but that's kind of the whole, and I understand that. To be honest, I mean, if you're going to go to the trouble of introducing all these characters and then kind of say, you know, fuck you to those comic book fans.
Dude, it's the same thing that people bitched about with Zack Snyder and Batman versus Superman, where they give you Jimmy Olsen and in 5 minutes you see him gunned down, he's dead.
Well, no one cares about Jimmy Olsen anyway. Like,
I'm just
honestly saying,
it's people do actually. A lot of Superman fans do. So you're wrong.
No.
You're wrong. just saying, people do care. And like, dude, literally, it's Shatterstar, okay? But like you just said, people do care. These secondary characters, they read the comics, they love the lore. So if you're going to introduce them, you're like, oh my god, I'm going to get this character, and then they kill them off in 5 minutes. You're like,
the difference between that and Batman versus Superman Batman versus Superman really, really, really wants you to take it seriously.
No, of course.
Whereas
I'm just using it as an example of killing off characters quickly.
Sure, absolutely. But again, for me, it worked because that's just kind of the subversive, attitude of Deadpool, the character. And what they're trying to do with these movies. I thought it was extremely clever, but I can see how people would be put off by that deceiving marketing.
But let's jump on real quick to a standout character, I thought, though we don't get really much from her actual character, but Domino, who I thought was really interesting and a real joy to watch on screen.
I absolutely agree. So Domino's power... Superpower is luck,
right? Right, which, luck, like just luck, and right. We see her basically
which sounds silly, but when it's and you're like, how are they gonna
dude,
actually
show that
on screen?
When she showed up for the interview, I'm like, how does this make any sense? Because it felt like a joke because everyone that was coming and interviewing, they had like this dumb power. Like Bill Skarsgård's character Zeitgeist was like, I puke like toxic sludge or whatever, and that's it, really, you know. So when she came and she's just like, I'm lucky. And she kind of has this back and forth with Deadpool, which is pretty good. Good chemistry there. When shit starts hitting the fan, after they jump out of the plane and he realizes his whole team is done with, they basically are trying to save this kid, who is this mutant who is going through all these troubles. We'll get to his character in a moment, but because we have to explain Deadpool's actual motivation here. But shit hits the fan in this amazing action sequence, and Domino carries her own, man. She's fantastic in there. She actually takes on Cable herself, and man, I'm getting ahead of myself with the action sequences I want to talk about, but I thought she was really good. I thought she had a lot of charisma. I mean, they kind of later in the film mention a few things about her past. We don't really know much about her character other than she's a sexy, badass mutant. That's literally all we get out of it, and her power is luck. But later on they do connect the dots a little bit more, but you know, again,
you mentioned sexy. I think I have a new celebrity crush, Justin.
Well,
Jossie Beats is,
well, dude, she's gonna
incredibly
be
incredibly fetching.
She's gonna be at the Northern Virginia Comic Con here in Tysons this summer. So
she is actually not anymore.
Oh, what?
She pulled out, yeah, unfortunately.
Well, maybe because she's such a big star now. Well, that was your chance, Brian. I guess it's not happening now. So then let's get to this character that you had mentioned earlier on. So this is a kid who, he's a mutant. We meet up with him.
Fire Fist.
Yeah. And
Russell,
He's like a central focus in the movie. After Deadpool loses Vanessa, He basically decides after he, you know, encounters this kid, they both get sent to prison because Deadpool, of course, fucks up and makes a bad decision. And then from there, the rest of the movie is him basically following this kid, trying to save him. For me, I gotta be honest, like the whole angle with the kid did not really work for me. And I did not find the kid all that great either.
I'm sorry you felt that way. I think he's terrific. I mean, I loved Hunt for the Wilder People, his performance in that movie. He's so endearing, so charming. In this film, he's playing basically the villain of the picture. At first you think it's Cable,
right?
And then the tables kind of turn.
I do like that beta switch a little bit. I do like that they kind of turn the tables a little bit on you. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It keeps it fresh. It keeps it interesting. It keeps it engaging. But so this kid kind of loses his way and is so focused on getting revenge on the people who tortured him while he's in this this facility for young mutants. So he gets kind of blinded by rage and wants to, you know, track down and kill the owners of this facility. And Deadpool is trying to teach the lesson that, you know, you shouldn't kill. It's not always the best option. And it kind of takes you down a dark path. And that's where the real heart of the movie for me came in, was Deadpool really feeling like he was becoming kind of a figure of lost my train of thought.
Today, Junior, get to it.
What am I trying to say?
I don't know. The kid sucked. No, you liked him. I'm sorry. I thought he was all right, man. I mean, I do understand what you mean. It just sometimes, I don't mind children in films. I think children are great in films. For me, it just felt like, okay, this is the next step for them. Get rid of the female love interest and then throw in a kid. That's just the way they make movies.
To me, it wasn't just throwing in a kid. To me, it was much more meaningful than that, and I feel
because they you know, they're talking about having a child in the beginning of the film. He loses that opportunity, then he meets a boy that needs help, that needs guidance, and doesn't have anyone to guide him down the right path. Everyone's coming at him, you know, each and every way, and it's all a negative way. So
yeah,
I mean,
and to me, I felt that the performance was strong too. I mean, it was obvious they were trying to go for a different look for the kid as well. Okay, you know, he's real stocky. He is from New Zealand, so he has the kind of awkward New Zealand accent. So a typical troubled kid villain in a movie would not look way that Julian Dennison does.
If it's going to be a Deadpool movie, you got to get a fat kid from New Zealand. What the hell else are you going to do?
Well, I mean, exactly what I'm trying to say is that they it was a very specific look that they wanted to go for, and I thought the performance. I mean, he's very funny. He's naturally funny, but towards the end, I thought he nailed those emotional moments too. When he's crying, like it's very. I mean, it's affecting.
When he needs to be, he's good. I just personally found him a little obnoxious in some scenes.
Respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I have a kid. You don't. When kids talk like that, I find them obnoxious. I'm sorry. I was a kid once too, and I get it. But for me, I didn't find anything he was saying funny. I just found it like, he just killed this kid already. Like, just go ahead and kill him. But I get that's not the point of the story. I get that's not the point of what we're supposed to be caring about.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I'm usually the one who wants the children to die.
I know, right? Well, this kid, dude, this kid's like threatening to kill everyone, though he doesn't actually ever end up killing anyone. But aside from those little tidbits and the whole team aspect that fails immediately and how funny that turned out to be, there is a couple other little Easter eggs, I guess you would call them, that show up in the film that made me super excited. I mean, I won't lie to you. I mean, the film chugged along and I loved all the action. I got to right now give major props to David Leitch, who came on directorial duties and took them directly from Tim Miller, who for some reason, I guess they had creative differences. him and Ryan Reynolds. So he went off, and now he's doing the new Terminator movie, which at least gives me some kind of hope that maybe there could be some good to it. But he also directed...
I don't think the original Deadpool was a particularly... Well, we don't have to...
No, that's... We don't need to keep going back to the first Deadpool. I thought it was... I thought the right person needed to make that movie, and the stars aligned, and it's mostly because of him and Ryan Reynolds and everyone else involved. But so he directed Atomic Blonde, which I found enjoyable. We both had some issues with it, but overall found the fight scenes and everything that needed to be good, pretty good. But I think literally it's a huge undertaking for someone who only has a handful, only a couple director credits to jump in and do such a huge sequel to a movie that literally was a pop culture phenomenon. I mean, this movie was huge. So I think he did an amazing job, and I won't lie to you, I'm going to be honest. I actually liked the way the action scenes looked and felt and were shot in this a lot better than the first Deadpool.
Oh, absolutely. The action in this is tremendously improved.
I mean, they upped the ante. They have to. They have to make it bigger, badder, and they definitely had the right people involved to do that. But what?
Oh yeah, and it's also just a nicer looking movie. I think first film is kind of ugly to look at, but with this one you have it's just gray. That's all it is. The movie's gray. But in this you get nice splashes of color. You get camera movement that I thought was really interesting. There's a scene where Deadpool like sits up and the camera like kind of turns itself around, kind of realigns. It's like upside down and then it turns right side up as Deadpool's getting up. So it's like really interesting stuff like that made the film to me look and move
the use of
more
color
impressively
too.
Than the
you're totally right, like the whole prison sequence, those turquoise colors of the blues when Cable comes in and they have the fight scene in there, which was again amazing. God, I loved that sequence. That was probably one of my favorite sequences in the film.
Definitely gritty action as well.
Very gritty. And then when, you know, jump forward to the city chase, you know, when they're in the city and they're driving through the streets, we see a lot of comic book movies go do chase scenes through the city or fight scenes or huge, you know, battles. But this did a different thing with it. And it kind of played with that whole, you know, trope of what happens when they fight in the city. And I really enjoyed that a lot too.
And there's some slapstick to kind of keep it entertaining as well. All of the action stuff was very impressive. I mean, we've already seen in John Wick and Atomic Blonde, David Leitch do some amazing stuff with action. So I think that's where this film, even if the comedy doesn't necessarily work for you in this, you have to appreciate it on the action spectacle level.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I do agree with you, in that sense, but
you see like heads being lopped off and blood spraying everywhere.
Exactly. I mean, this is like I was saying to you after we saw the film, there's only a couple movies that we can say we see in a theater in a large release like this, that the violence is as over the top and gratuitous and as lovely as Deadpool 2 and like the John Wick movies. And this is the stuff I live for. I mean, you get a lot of, you know, independent action movies. We get a lot of other, but it's literally the days of gruesome violence in action movies or people getting blown away and blown up is, you know, it's old hat for a lot of people. And for me, that's what I live for. That's what I love. So seeing it in such a big budget, big movie like this really, really brightened my day. I really loved it.
With so many normal people in the audience too. Like, it's not like, people going on dates, there were, you know, comic book fans, there were, you know, just your average
and they go
audience
out of their
member.
Way, man, to make it interesting. Like, each death is perfectly planned and it's sculpted almost to be like this perfect death, like to make you really love it. You know what I mean? Like, they know what they're doing. You see
a guy on fire. You see a guy get torn apart and you see a guy get his head chopped off. So it's all very, it's all very calculated.
Exactly.
I think extremely well done. As someone who appreciates graphic, gory, gratuitous, horrific violence in my movies,
but it's done in such a fun, upbeat manner, which again, that's why I like it. You know, because you can enjoy it from an entertainment level value, and then from there, you're like, hey, man, I'm getting to see a lot of blood and guts in this shit. So both people, both people can enjoy it. And I think that they did the best of both worlds there. But let's move on to some other little things that we liked about the film. And then we'll move on to our final rating here in this mini-sode review of Deadpool 2. I got to tell you right off the bat, I had a fanboy moment right at the end of the movie. Now, we know that Fox has done a lot of wrong things with the X-Men franchise. They've teased things that didn't pan out correctly. They've given us things that outright sucked dick, that were horrible. And, of course, we couldn't go through a review without me mentioning that. I'm sorry. Nick has his hold on me. He just does. But Juggernaut.
Juggernaut's in the film.
Dude, how amazing was seeing Juggernaut? I didn't expect that. I did not at all. Literally, like, that was one of the great things that they kept
secret. I was
kind of
looking over at you to see if you, like, what your reaction would be when he finally appeared.
Well, yeah, they tease that one of the prisoners is, like, the big prisoner. Like, that's the big guy. And they do tease him well. Like, they don't show him off or anything until the end. And it gave me, Brian, what I had hoped for since I was, like, 11 years old. It finally got to see on the big screen a proper fight between Colossus and Juggernaut. They really took great advantage of that. And for me, that I just want to thank them for that, because they know fans have been waiting for that forever. And with X-Men The Last Stand, they actually built that up, even though they had a bastardized, awful version of Juggernaut in that thing. Awful. Like, no one wants to remember that. They did lead up to that where, you know, they were about to fight. And at the end battle in The Last Stand, you see like one or two shots of them about to fight, and then it's nothing. It ends. You don't see anything more. In this, we got to see, you know, an awesome brawl.
Fight.
And also almost like a wrestling match.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that a lot. And that made me really love the ending of this movie. It gave me the goods, man. It gave me what I paid my ticket for. Like, it gave me what I paid my money for admission for.
Absolutely. You also get to see Juggernaut literally rip Deadpool in half, which is incredible.
And he was foul-mouthed.
That's right, he was. It was all pitch perfectly done. Another horrible thing about this film, that this film kind of redeems from the Fox Marvel universe, is at the very end, the post-credit mid-credit scene, we see the bastardized, just god-awful version of Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine. Literally one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see the real version of Deadpool, the proper version of Deadpool, shoot Dime Store Deadpool multiple times, and it's one of the most glorious things.
Dude, it was so great to see that. That was so great. And then, of course, right after that, we see... And I don't know how they're going to get away with this. We see Deadpool kill Ryan Reynolds as he's looking at a script of Green Lantern. I mean, come on, dude.
The blood spatters all over the script, and you see Ryan Reynolds with a big hole in his head. And it's so over the top, but it's great, because I don't know one single person who likes Green Lantern. Not one. And Ryan Reynolds clearly does not like Green Lantern either, so it is kind of like you kind of feel vindicated as an audience member, like, yeah, no one liked that movie, let's shoot it in the head and move on.
Yeah, definitely. So those for me were the fun moments, and there is a fun moment earlier in the film which I thought was pretty funny, when Deadpool first gets to Xavier's school for children.
Yeah.
And He's wandering around in Xavier's wheelchair. He's like, how come you guys are the only ones here? Like, you would think the studio could pony up for a few more members. And then a door opens, and then you see Nicholas Holt as Beast. You see James McAvoy as Xavier. And then they just, like, look out, and they just slowly shut the door in his face. And I thought that was the most hilarious thing. That might have been one of the most funny moments of the entire movie for me, because I was not expecting them to be in there.
You just know they were shooting Dark Phoenix around the same time, and
well, it made sense. It makes sense for us as the audience to want to see that, because you always wonder in these movies, like, well, all this shit's happening. Where's the rest of these people? Why can't they come in? You know, so it's a fun little nod, a little wink, wink, a little elbow in the rib, so to speak, to be like, hey, here you go. Here's what you're getting out of this. I thought it was hilarious.
Definitely. It makes you, I don't know. Makes you wonder, like, how we're supposed to take the X-Men movie universe seriously now.
I have no problem with it. I mean, after Apocalypse, that's when I would have asked that question, because we both know how we felt about that, UI and Nick, Epic Film Guy Nick. But no reason
that's
to bring
the
up
the second worst thing I've ever
let's
seen.
Let's not ever bring that up ever again. Please, let's not. I don't. The less I think about that, the better. But let's get on with it. Let's get on with it, boy. Let's get to final thoughts and our ratings here. I'm going to give it to you first, though.
I will give Deadpool 2 an 8 out of 10. I can foresee that rating maybe going down in the future once I kind of pick it apart a little bit. Even though
that never happens on the Epic Film Guys podcast. We never watch movies and then rate them lower or higher later on. Never.
Never happens. But I can see that the luster and the shock and surprise of and the freshness of the first film is a little bit lost on this one. And there are a couple things here and there that I did not necessarily agree with creatively. But overall, I think Deadpool 2 is a super fun time. It's just as crass and violent and hilarious and action-packed as you would want a Deadpool to be. And it's a fun popcorn-munching summer blockbuster. So, Justin, what did you think?
Yeah, fair enough.
Final thoughts.
There were a couple of jokes in there that I recalled that I wanted to reference before I got down to it. But one of the jokes that I thought was pretty cool that landed, that was, you know, a jab in the elbow of DC, was when his first battle with Cable, and he turns to me, he's like, "You're pretty dark. Are you part of the DC Cinematic Universe?" It was something along those lines. Like, "Are you a DC Universe character?" I thought that was pretty funny. Just saying.
It's also very true.
A little bit, yeah. Not after Justice League, but we'll leave that alone. However, I did not like, and I felt it was extremely forced, when Cable asks, "Who are you anyways?" And he does, "I'm Batman." I'm like, dude, that's been overdone in like every single, like literally like since.
Yeah, but it made people in the audience laugh because they've heard of that line.
It didn't make me laugh, so I'm saying I didn't like it. Other than that, like I said earlier, I think that it was overloaded with pop culture references. There is a sequence.
But so was
when
the first one. You can't like.
No, I can. You can't. I can. I think it's. I think it's more overloaded in this one than the first one. So I definitely can say I felt this had too much compared to the first one.
Nah, I don't think so. But okay,
I definitely do. You're wrong, and I'm right. So. But no, there's a whole sequence that landed completely flat for me. I didn't think it was funny at all. I thought people felt more uncomfortable than amused by it, where after Juggernaut rips Deadpool in half, his bottom half is growing back again. So he has like baby legs and a baby penis, and it's like hanging out, and you see like a glimpse of the CG penis. And like, I didn't think that sequence was funny at all. I just that landed totally flat for me. Didn't even need to be in the movie at all. So, yeah.
But they did the baby hands in the first one, so they have to up the ante.
The baby hand was fine, but dude, no one wants to see. It's supposed to be funny. No one wants to see a baby penis, and that's supposed to be funny. No. It was weird and strange.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay. Because I'm not a pedophile. I'm not a fucking sick bastard. I'm not a sicko. Okay. But yes, the action was wonderful, fantastic. Probably the best action I've seen so far this year. I would definitely be. I'm gonna buy this no matter what. I'll buy it just for the action sequences alone. You are correct. It looked slicker. The color was better in this. Everything about the way the film looked was better than the first one. But overall, I don't think that it built upon the first one much more. For me to give it a higher rating. So yes, I recommend seeing Deadpool 2. I thought it was a fun, fantastic time at the movies, but it didn't quite get there for me. So a 7 out of 10, I'm giving Deadpool 2. That's it.
That's still pretty good.
Well, of course, I thought the film was good. I don't think there was a lot of problems. Let's face it here. They've got their ducks in a row. They know what they're doing. They're putting a lot of care into these movies. And I think that the third film will be hopefully almost as good as the second and the first. I know third films are always the hard spot to always get right, so we'll see when we get there. But Cable was just so great, such a great presence, and I love Josh Brolin. And Domino was the standout as well. So everything was fun, everything was great, and the action and the violence was just good enough for me. 7 out of 10. So yes, if you have not seen Deadpool 2, check it out. But I hope that you didn't listen through this if you haven't seen it yet, because you just had the whole fucking movie spoiled for you. So
All the best parts.
All the best part. I just want to give a shout out to my boy, Epic Film Guy, Nick. I know he's exhausted as shit from
we love you, Nick.
Live stream for The Cure 2.0 this last weekend. We literally, you know, he himself and our good friend, executive producer Brennick, put so much time, effort, and all of our guests. We love all of you so much. But Nick will officially thank you and discuss this on our full episode next week. But until next week, I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And eat your fucking chimichangas, and we will see you
at the movies.
Check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.